bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." Shall we pray? Father, we ask now your blessings upon your word. We ask that you would change our hearts this morning, touch lives, do that which only you can do. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As the glorious dawn of the first resurrection morning appeared, God's redemptive work was done. God's righteous demand, a payment for sin, had been fulfilled by His Son, Jesus Christ. But the truth is that the early Christians did not immediately celebrate. The truth of the matter is that the early Christians did not immediately
begin to rejoice as we rejoice even this morning. In fact, most of the followers of Christ were in a state of denial, and many of them were retreating, not knowing how to respond on that first Easter morning. The Bible tells us that Peter, for example, went out fishing. He did not really know how to respond to the fact that Jesus Christ had been crucified. Now, someone may suggest that they should have been ready. They should have been rejoicing. They should have expected that Jesus Christ would arise on the third day. After all, he said he would. But the fact of the matter was that they were disillusioned and unprepared. Most of us, however, this morning, if you would stop to think about it, do not really respond to catastrophic occurrences in a better way ourselves. Most of us really do not know how to respond, or oftentimes when trials come our way or when major trauma comes into our life, we really don't react much differently either. I think about, for example, the subject of earthquakes. Most of us have had earthquake preparation. Most of us have been told what to do. Most of us have been told where to stand when an earthquake comes. Most of us have been told how to act when an earthquake comes. And when earthquakes happen, none of us do anything we've been taught to do. I remember several years ago in an earthquake in a church office, and boy, that earthquake started to go, and all of a sudden everyone just responded in different ways. It was as though some people responded in hysterics, others responded a little bit silly in their mannerisms. The youth pastor was saying, "Wow, this is like a wave," and he was sort of surfing, and the secretaries were under the desk screaming and yelling, and it took several hours to get them out from underneath the desk. They were worried about aftershocks occurring, and so everyone just sort of responds to catastrophe in a little different way. And it really doesn't matter that you've been told beforehand how to respond. You see, Jesus had told his disciples beforehand what would take place. But when that first resurrection morning came, they were nowhere to be found for the most part. But it is amazing to observe, really, who stays collected in their thoughts during a time of catastrophe or during a difficult hour. It is amazing to see who stays committed to their cause when the pressure is mounting. And as we look at the Word of God, we see that there was one person especially who throughout all the trauma remained faithful and remained true to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that one is a lady by the name of Mary Magdalene. In fact, the Bible says in verse number 40, "There were also women looking afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, the less, and Joseph, and Salome." Here we see Mary Magdalene. She had trusted Christ many months earlier. She had followed him faithfully now all the way to the cross. Undoubtedly now, with a broken heart, she had followed her Savior down the way of sorrow and up to the hill of Calvary, where there she saw her Lord, where there she saw her Savior and her Master crucified on a Roman cross. There she watched the crowd mock the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse number 29, in chapter 15, "And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, 'Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days.'" They were ridiculing the teaching of Jesus Christ concerning the fact of his resurrection. There, Mary at midday saw the sky darken. The Bible says in verse number 33, "And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour." And by the way, that was not the eclipse of the sun. Rather, it was God the Heavenly Father draping the sky. For the Bible declares in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that Jesus Christ was made sin for us, and God the Father could not view that sin. And so the sky was draped in heaven above as Jesus Christ hung on the cross that day. Then we know that Mary Magdalene saw as the soldier plunged the vinegar into the mouth of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse 36, "And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, 'Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down.'" Then we know that Mary Magdalene was there when Jesus Christ offered up his spirit. The Bible says in verse 37, "And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost." No doubt, the hope that Mary Magdalene felt when she first met Jesus Christ has now diminished. No doubt her faith was now somewhat hurting in her heart, and yet it was not completely gone. And as the cruel day of atonement now has ended, Mary Magdalene and a few others are there wondering what will happen next. Notice, if you would, in the scriptures, what takes place next. We see, first of all, the preparation for his burial. The Bible tells us here in verse number 42, "And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus." Here we see in the Word of God that Joseph of Arimathea requests his body. The Old Testament prophets had proclaimed that Jesus Christ would be buried amidst the poor and the rich. And here we see Joseph of Arimathea, a silent follower of Jesus Christ. John's Gospel tells us that he came in for fear of the Jews unto Pilate. Nevertheless, he was a follower of Jesus Christ. He comes and he asks Pilate if he might have the body of Jesus Christ and provide proper burial for the Lord Jesus Christ. Pilate, the Bible tells us, is very surprised that Jesus has died already. In fact, most of the time when someone hung on the cross, their legs would be broken while they hung on the cross in order that they would die. And yet Jesus Christ had not had his legs broken yet, for the Old Testament prophesied not a bone of him would be broken. And so Pilate was shocked that Jesus Christ had died so soon. Nevertheless, upon inquiry to the centurion, Pilate confirmed that Jesus indeed had given up the ghost. And so he allows Joseph of Arimathea to take Jesus Christ into this sepulcher, into this rock burial place. Now the Bible tells us in verse number 46 concerning the preparation of his burial that Joseph bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock. Now when we look into the Word of God, we know that every word is there, divinely inspired of the Holy Spirit of God. We know that there are no accidents in Scripture. We know, for example, that linen in the Scripture is a picture of righteousness. And we see here that each person who accepts Christ as their Savior will also be covered in the righteousness of God. I like the song we've sung since I was just a little boy in church. "When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand." And you see, when someone receives Christ as Savior, they are dressed in the righteousness of God. Even as Jesus Christ was wrapped in the linen on that day of burial, so you and I, when we accept Christ as Savior, are dressed in the righteousness of God. Thus, even the way Jesus Christ was buried pictures the forgiveness of sin for all mankind. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 103 and verse number 12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed their transgression from us." Isaiah 38:17 says, "Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." And the Bible says in Micah 7:19, "He has cast our sins in the depth of the sea." And by the way, there's no fishing allowed in that sea. I'm just saying this morning that all of our sin has been covered by the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. And our sin today through Christ can be as far as the east is from the west. And so it was because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that even Mary Magdalene could have the forgiveness of sins. You see, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 8 that Mary Magdalene, when she was saved, she was living somewhere north of the Sea of Galilee. The Bible tells us that prior to becoming a follower or a Christian, the Bible says that she was possessed of seven evil spirits. She was a woman who was under great difficulty and great sin and great deprivation until she found the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet even her salvation was dependent upon that future work of Jesus Christ. As painful as that would be, her life eternally was dependent upon that great work. Now, sometimes it's hard for us to comprehend forgiveness. Sometimes it's hard for us to comprehend our sins being as far as the east is from the west, because really our human forgiveness is so limited. Most of us have not experienced true forgiveness, at least immediately, even from our loved ones. It seems like we take a while to really offer true forgiveness as humans today. Reminds me of a man who was telling a friend not long ago about an argument that he had had with his wife. And he said, "You know, I hate it. Every time we have an argument, she gets historical." And the man said, "Don't you mean hysterical?" He said, "No, I mean historical. Every time we argue, she drags up things from the past and brings them back to my remembrance." And you see, that's normally an indication that we really haven't forgiven someone. But thank God, Jesus Christ never drags things up from the past, because they are under His blood and because we are clothed in the linen of His righteousness. And so Mary Magdalene observes the preparation for His burial. But notice, secondly, she also hears the proclamation of His resurrection. You see, the Bible says in chapter 16 and verse number 1, "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint Him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, 'Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?'" They had no thought, no hint of the fact of the resurrection in their minds, no expectation that the stone would be rolled away. But the Bible says very clearly in verse 4, "And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were afraid," or affrighted. "And he saith unto them, 'Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here.'" Thank God today that our faith points back to an empty tomb. Here we see the proclamation of His resurrection. Now the angel's proclamation is very simple. When the angel says, "He is not here," undoubtedly with a voice of triumph, undoubtedly in a way of victory. "He is not here, for He is risen." You see, they were seeking the living among the dead. And the angel said in another gospel, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? The linen clothes were there lying intact, but Jesus was gone." And the Bible tells us in verse number 8 that Mary was astonished. She went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they had trembled and were amazed. I do not know the feelings that must have flooded Mary Magdalene's heart that first Easter morning, as Jesus Christ's body was not there. As the angel says, "He is not here, for He is risen." Perhaps that hope which had diminished to such a low point, perhaps that faith which perhaps she had questioned, now flickers back. And that hope now begins to grow in her heart once again, and her hope is rekindled. And by the way, the resurrection and the empty tomb always will rekindle hope in the heart of anyone who will just take an honest look at what Jesus Christ has done. And as she goes away in amazement, her heart is now filling with hope. Paul wrote about it later in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 19 and 20, when he said this way, "If in this life we only have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them which slept." Thank God, the seed of God stirred, shoved, and sprouted. The ground trembled, and the rock of the tomb tumbled, and the flower of Easter blossomed, and Jesus Christ arose that Easter morning, just as He said. And Mary Magdalene, with some uncertainty, yet with some expectation, ran away from that place, hoping that Jesus Christ had risen again from the dead. There is a place not far from here called Death Valley. Some of you have been there. Death Valley is said to be the hottest place in the United States of America. Death Valley is 276 feet below sea level. And several years ago, something strange happened in Death Valley. Most of you who've been there would attest to the fact nothing really grows in Death Valley. But several years ago, there was a peculiar weather pattern that caused rain to come across Death Valley. In fact, it rained there either all day or part of a day for 19 days straight. And several years ago, after 19 straight days of rain, all of the sudden, history records and folks have told us, suddenly millions and millions of dormant seeds that had perhaps laid there for decades and decades and decades, now these dormant seeds began to burst into bloom and the valley of death exploded into beauty. And I like to think of that when I think of Jesus Christ. You see, in Jesus Christ, a desert can become a garden. And through Jesus Christ, no matter how much of a wasteland your life may seem to be, Jesus Christ can touch it because of the resurrection and cause your life to bloom with hope and to believe once again that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You see, His death and His burial pictures forgiveness, but His resurrection pictures hope. His resurrection sparked hope and expectancy in Mary Magdalene's heart once again. And His resurrection this morning for millions of people around the world sparks again some hope and some belief that Jesus Christ is alive and that He is able to change and touch lives today. And so His resurrection brings hope. But notice thirdly this morning, the presentation of the resurrected Savior. You see, it is not only the empty tomb today that we celebrate. No, it's much more than that. It's the living Savior. It's not just the fact that the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. It's the fact that Jesus Christ showed Himself to people after the resurrection. In fact, the Bible says that He showed Himself by many infallible proofs. More than 11 times He appeared to people during those days after the resurrection. And He showed Himself alive by many infallible proofs. The Bible says that He presented Himself. Notice in verse number 9 of chapter 16, the Bible says here, chapter 16 and verse 9, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast seven devils. Notice here that He appears first to Mary Magdalene. My heart, when I read this, stirs to think of the grace of God. You see, her faithfulness, her tears were not unnoticed. Her love and her faithfulness unto her Lord had not been unnoticed. And now the Bible says that Jesus personally comes to her and her hope is restored. John 19 says that as she came and saw the Lord Jesus and as He appeared unto her, she simply said to Him, Master. She realized that this was not an apparition. This was not a vision. This was not a near likeness of Jesus Christ. This indeed was the literal resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a picture of God's grace. May I encourage you, dear lady, today. May I encourage you that though hope seems at times like it's almost gone, and you may wonder as though how you're going to make it another day, and does God ever notice? May I encourage you with this simple truth? God does notice, and Jesus Christ one day will come and appear personally unto you as well. He sees every tear. He sees every faithful deed. And in His loving grace, He comes first of all to Mary Magdalene. Not Peter, James, or John, but to Mary Magdalene. Someone says, but she had seven devils and she lived a wicked life and she was with the wrong crowd. Yes, but she put her faith in Jesus Christ. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for His amazing grace as He showed it to Mary Magdalene. He appears first to Mary Magdalene. Then the Bible says in verse number 12, and after that He appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. Here we recall the two disciples on the Emmaus road, and the Bible tells us that Jesus came to them and He mused with them and He asked them what they were thinking about, and they said that they were thinking about the fact that Jesus had been gone and had gone away from them, and then He began begin to teach them truths about God and teach them truths about the eternal things that they should think on. And the Bible says as he spoke to them, their hearts burned within them. And all of a sudden, they became aware of the fact that this was Jesus Christ there in their presence. And so he appeared to the disciples on the Emmaus Road. But then notice also in verse 14, he appears now to the 11. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Here he appears to the 11. These that did not believe Mary Magdalene's report. These who should have been the first at the tomb. These who should have been the first to believe the report. These who would be the leaders of the first century church. These who would be the apostles and the preachers and the leaders. These men were cowering in unbelief. And may I challenge you, man, today, don't cower like the rest of the men in this country who oftentimes do not lead their homes, who oftentimes do not serve Christ, who oftentimes, when we need to take a stand in our community, are nowhere to be found. May I challenge you today, men, that you would take your place and not be rebuked by the Lord Jesus Christ, but be there and be found faithful unto the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus appeared unto the 11, the Bible says, and he had to rebuke them. Why? For their unbelief. But finally, as Jesus appeared, and finally as he shook them, if you will, spiritually, and reminded them that it was him, and that he had risen as he said, now their spiritual senses recover. Now their hope also blooms within their heart. And now they begin to realize that Jesus Christ has risen. As he said, the tomb could hold him no longer. Death is strong, but life is stronger. Stronger than the dark, the light. Stronger than the wrong, the right. Faith and hope triumphant say, Christ arose on Easter Day. And these men realized that in their hearts. And now they were looking at the literal body of the Lord Jesus Christ resurrected as he said. And so we see the preparation for the burial. And in the preparation for the burial, we see the linen wrapped around Jesus Christ. And we're reminded of the fact that when we pray and accept Christ as our Savior, that we are wrapped with the righteousness of God. But then we see the proclamation of the resurrection. And when we hear that proclamation this morning, like Mary Magdalene, hope comes into our heart. No matter how difficult your trial may be today, no matter how wicked your past may be today, there is hope because of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. But then we see the personal appearance of Jesus Christ, and we're reminded of our salvation. We're reminded of the fact that Jesus Christ indeed became the first fruits of the resurrection. And that if Jesus Christ arose from the dead, then if I put my faith in Jesus Christ, I too can arise once again and be with my Lord Jesus Christ. What about you today? Where is your spiritual life today? Is there life at all spiritually? And how does the resurrection, some 2,000 years later, affect you and affect me? Well, the Bible says it this way in Romans chapter 4 and verse number 25. He was raised up again for our justification. He was raised for our justification. Would you catch that this morning? He did not die. He was not buried. He did not raise up again for the justification of Mary Magdalene or Peter, James, and John alone. But he died and rose again for our justification. Have you ever stopped to consider the fact that you needed to be justified before God as well? Have you ever come to the realization of the fact that all of us are sinners according to the Word of God? In fact, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But thank God when Jesus came and died on that cross and when he rose up again, he offers justification to those of us who fall short of a holy God. Jesus Christ says, I can bring you to him, for I died and rose again for your justification. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy heart at thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I wonder, has there ever been a time in your life when you confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner and I fall short of the glory of God. But Lord Jesus, I ask you to be my Savior and to justify me before a holy God. I know I have sinned. I know I'm a sinner. But I believe, Jesus, that you can wrap me in your righteousness, even as your body was wrapped in with that linen. If I am to accept Christ as Savior, I can be wrapped with the righteousness of God. Have you ever asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin and to take you to heaven someday? The Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, red and yellow, black and white, they're precious in His sight. American, Chinese, African, Korean, whatever background today, the Bible says whosoever. Aren't you thankful for that today? Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Mary Magdalene, her hope was restored. Her life was renewed. Why? Because of a resurrected Savior. You today, your hope could be restored. Your life could be renewed if you would put your faith in a resurrected Savior. I can almost see Mary Magdalene after Jesus appeared to her, after she said unto him, Rabboni, which is to be interpreted, Master, as that hope now was in full blossom within her heart, I can almost hear her as she walks away saying, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. I want to tell you something today. You and I sometimes may look at all of our difficulties. Our difficulties in personal relationships, our difficulties with work and finance, our difficulties that we face even tomorrow. But now, wait a minute. Life is worth the living today just because He lives. And because He lives, you and I can face tomorrow. You know what I believe? Christians ought to be the happiest crowd at work every day of the week. You know why? We serve a risen Savior. No matter what may come my way, I serve a risen Savior. No matter what might happen to me physically or financially, nothing can stamp out the hope that's in my heart because of the fact that I serve a risen Savior today. Father, thank you for the wonderful hope of the resurrection. Thank you for forgiveness of sin. Thank you for salvation today by grace through faith. And oh God, my prayer at this very moment is that you, through your Holy Spirit, would touch hearts this morning, that you would do a work in lives today. Our heads remain bowed and our eyes closed. This morning, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, there is nothing more important in this life than knowing for certain that your sins are forgiven and that you have a home in heaven. And I want to encourage you this morning that if Jesus Christ broke the barrier of the grave for you, that you would put your faith in Him and one day know that you have that home in heaven with Him. Today we're not talking about getting religion or joining the Baptist church. Today we are simply talking about putting faith personally in Jesus Christ's finished work. I mean today that we can come and say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I confess it to you. I ask you to come into my life today and save me and justify me before God. The Bible says when you call on the Lord like that, that He will save you. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. I wonder this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, how many are in this room who could say, Pastor Chapel, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that I have everlasting life in heaven. I know that based upon the Word of God. Could you lift your hand today? No one's looking. Just lift your hand quietly. We'll not embarrass anyone today. Just quietly lift your hand. You may put your hand down. Thank you. I wonder on this resurrection morning, as your hands are put down, I wonder today if you're here and you'd say, Pastor Chapel, I couldn't raise my hand a moment ago. I'm not sure that I'd spend eternity in heaven. I'm not sure that I have the forgiveness of sin. I do not have the hope in my heart you spoke about. But I would like to have a personal relationship with Jesus. I would like that very much. I'd like to know someday when this life is over that I'll see Him face to face like Mary Magdalene. Pastor Chapel, I'm not sure that I'm saved and on my way to heaven, but I'd like to know how. Please pray for me. I wonder, with no one looking, if you just let me pray for you. You're not sure you're saved. You did not raise your hand a moment ago, but you'd let me pray with you that you might come to Christ and be saved very soon. Would you lift your hand right now? Just lift it up that I might pray for you. All right, I see your hands. Are there others today? Pastor Chapel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. All right, sir, God bless you. Are there others today? Pastor Chapel, I'm not sure that I'd go to heaven. I'd like to know more about this. I'd like to know more about the true meaning of the resurrection. Is there anyone else right now? Pray with me. Pray with me. Perhaps you're here today like Mary Magdalene, dear lady, and your hope is nearly gone. May I encourage you today that you serve a risen Savior. Perhaps some dear lady in this room needs to come and rededicate her life to Christ today. Perhaps come and become a part of a church family where she can grow and serve her Savior. Perhaps some dear man that, like Peter, would spend most of his time out away from the things of God. You need to come back today and get right with God. You need to make things right on this Easter morning and come to serve that risen Savior. Not just to know about Him, but to serve Him. May God help you to make that decision that would be pleasing to Him this morning. Our Father, we thank You that we can hear the music and the preaching, but now most of all, Father, we come to look into Your Word and to have now the opportunity to make decisions based upon the teaching of Your Word. Father, I pray today for these that raised their hands and said they're not sure. They'd like to know more about how to go to heaven. I pray, God, that You would touch their hearts now and show them that they could be saved even today. I pray for ladies today that You would comfort their heart, that they would be faithful unto Thee. I pray for men in this room, men that perhaps should be even in the place of faithfulness, that You would touch their hearts this morning, meet the needs of this group today. Thank You for the way they've listened. Thank You for what You've done for us, Lord Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's